Hey y'all, just want to welcome y'all to another Versus podcast. We got another great episode lined up for you. Make sure you following us on Versus underscore podcast on Instagram. A lot of the verses come up from stuff that we post there and I see what get the most traction or love. So, you can leave comments, like all that. It's Versus underscore podcast. You type in Versus is like one of the third things that pop up. So, shout out to Swizz, Timbaland. Also, a lot of the artwork that you see from some of these Versus matches, give a shout out to my man G Wiz the Great. Follow him on Instagram, does graphic works, has a lot of funny content on Instagram. So that is GWIZ the Great, GREAT. So make sure, big shouts out to him. Thank you for the artwork and love. And thank everybody for tuning in. We're going to be dropping episodes. Still trying to decide if it's Tuesdays or Wednesdays. Looking more like Wednesdays, but I'm shooting for Tuesday. So, but either way, thank y'all for rocking with us. And check out this episode. We got a dope episode lined up for you. Hey, I want to welcome everybody back to the Versus podcast. We got the boys back in the building. This is going to be episode 9. We got another fantasy match because we're waiting on Swizz Beatz and Timbaland to come out with the season 2 of Versus. But this is one I don't know if we'll see because I don't think two of the members of one of these groups can be in the same room together. But yeah, I'm gonna let my co-host introduce herself.
All right, I'll go first.
Yeah, man.
It's the one and only Mr. Evo, aka the Fluffy Fellow. Just excited to be here again for episode 9. I mean, dang, this time's flying. We moving.
Yeah, we're getting it in. What's good, everybody? Scotty LaCura, aka future fantasy football champion, because I ate this week.
Is there any money in that pot, Scotty?
Yes. Yeah, we got about $2,000 on the line.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So every move is important. Every game is important. And hopefully we can get this money in January. Sometimes you got to play the long game.
Facts.
All right. And for episode 9, we are doing some heavyweights. We're doing Outkast versus the entire refugee camp, consisting of the Fugees, Fuji La, Wyclef, Lauryn Hill, Prize. And we're just going to go through and see who would come out in the verses. So we got Mr. Evo, who's repping for the refugees.
Buck.
And we got Scotty repping for the ATLians.
ATL, shouty.
So what do y'all think? Like, is this something that y'all would want to see in season 2 of the Versus?
Yeah, this would be great.
Yeah, I think it'd be an iconic move to have. I mean, the simple fact, if you can get Lauryn Hill on the stage with the rest of the refugee camp, you're doing something.
Yeah, matter of fact, I think on both sides, because yeah, I don't think you would I don't think you can get Wyclef and Lauryn Hill anywhere near each other. Mm-hmm. But I also don't think you can get Andre 3000 to do anything.
Well, no, I don't think so. I think that you could, because he just did that song with Anderson .Paak, and when Big Boy and them were in the interview, they were like, Andre doesn't want to really do a whole album, but he loves promoting music and helping people, and he's still all about the charity. He's about peace, love, and so if that's something that will aspire people to show some peace and some love and give us unity, I think he'll be a part of it.
Okay, if you say so, but I just got some insider knowledge, and I doubt that he would do
Oh, well, the share. You got insider knowledge, share.
No.
Oh shit.
Is that insider that I can't even share.
That sucks.
Yo, that, like, hold on, that nah was cold blooded.
Yeah, it was 100%. Yo.
Like, just said, never mind. Anyway,
he wanted to say something, but he was like, nah,
I can't do it.
I mean, I just know there's projects with like Outkast and members involved, and Andre wouldn't, you know, he wouldn't contribute far as presence. You know, he might contribute other ways, but, you know, so I don't think Andre's coming out the house.
If he's not walking around playing the flute somewhere.
Yeah.
He's living he's living like the most freest life possible. Like, it's actually pretty amazing. Like, props to him.
Yeah, it's about time though. Like, at some point, you know, you have to make a decision. And this is why I never get on Lauryn Hill for not always doing shows and stuff like that, because at some point you have to, you know, worry about your own mental health, worry about your own happiness, your own soul. So I get it, you know, just enjoying life and not stressing out about, you know, stupid stuff.
So so let's say this imaginary coin toss. Scotty, you lose the coin toss. You're going first. What would be one of the how would you kick off a versus if you were Outkast?
How would I kick it off? You know what? I'll start it off heavy. I'll go Bombs Over Baghdad to start.
I think that would be a good
With the pace of it, like Andre smokes it. Like, I mean, I'd start off with Bombs Over Baghdad.
Mr. Evo, what would you pull out of your arsenal to combat B.O.B.?
Man, that's tough. Bombs Over Baghdad was like, I was thinking that might be like a fourth song, kind of like to take you over the hill. But we starting off straight like that.
Yes, sir.
Wow,
that's crazy.
That's tough, but I guess Ready or Not would have to be the first one that you'd have to play that against Bomb Over Baghdad, because you know the moment it comes on, everybody hops in on that.
Yeah, that's a good song to set it off with. Like, even if you went first, and like, you know, because it's like Ready or Not and a little bit of everybody in it. So that's dope. Okay. What would be some other songs that you would definitely want to hear in a verse? Like, if you didn't hear that song in a verse, you would be upset.
If I didn't hear a song, like they just didn't play that. How many mics? Like that, if you don't play How Many Mics, then you've definitely not gone through all the songs that Refugees have possible. Like that song, How Many Mics Can You Rip on the Daily? Like, come on, like, it's got a easy catchphrase, it kicks. Like, I'd be scared that they wouldn't play that.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that could, I mean, I don't know. I think
if I were playing Fugees, I'd play that second.
That'd have to play second.
I'd play that second.
Killing Me Softly is really the only song that you can play in the second half that you know you're gonna probably get a win on.
Maybe, like, against anybody else, Killing Me Softly would definitely be a point. But with some Outkast songs,
there's too many. I don't know. There's too many.
Like if Outkast played international player, I'm going international player. And that's not even an Outkast song.
True.
And on and Andre's verse on that was crazy too.
Oh yeah.
But
Yeah, was that did that start his like little feature run, like when he did like Walk It Out, and it was Walk It Out, and he did another one where he did some unconventional appearances everywhere.
you talking
Yeah.
about that that
And then
John Legend joint? Green,
Green
yeah.
Party. Green Light.
No, green light, green light. Show me the
Green
green
Light.
light. Yeah.
Yeah, and then and and that Jeezy verse with, I think it was Jeezy and Jay-Z and Andre.
I do that joint, right?
Yes, I put that on. I put that on the
Yeah.
playlist. Just, I put the last song. Yeah, that is Jay-Z. Yeah, that to me that was almost like part two of International
Yeah.
Hurt.
I could see that, yeah.
And let's not sleep on Big Boy. That Kill Bill joint that he did with Killer Mike. That was a nice little
Yeah, I
joint
mean, yo,
too.
the Kryptonite joint. That was crazy.
Yeah.
That
That
was
was
crazy
fire.
when it was out.
That was fire. Dang, so do we get to do the miseducation of Lauryn Hill at all? I mean, if we're doing
Yeah,
big
you
gems, I
can
mean,
include that.
because you got Doo Wop on there, that was a killer joint.
I didn't even put Doo Wop on the playlist,
You sure?
did I?
I
No,
feel like I
thought you
saw
did.
that
Yeah.
on there.
Yeah,
Yeah, you
yeah,
kind of you
yeah, yeah.
gotta have that on there.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think I, you know what? I don't think I saw
That's just the harmonize,
I don't think I
I
saw a
thought.
lost one on there from Lauryn Hill.
No, that was not, but that one definitely would. I would
That
have
was
put
a
that one,
that
I would
would
have
not.
put, yeah, I would have put Lost One over Zealous.
Yeah, I pretty much use the Apple
Oh,
Essential
playlist.
whatever. So I don't know why I did that. Yeah, like it was real quick this morning to have to send y'all something. I did that for that both of those playlists.
Yeah. But even though, like, all right, so even in this like hypothetical, like, so this does happen, and it's just like Wyclef, like with all of his stuff that people that have been around him. Like, how would it look if Wyclef was playing Lauryn Hill stuff?
I mean, for the general audience, it wouldn't look anyway. It's just only for
Like,
people
do
in
you
the
think
know.
Lauryn Hill would be sitting there like, I know this nigga's not playing. Like,
I mean,
Yo,
I.
the verses will get shut down so quickly, bro. Like, Lauren's gonna make several phone calls and then it's a wrap. They're gonna be like, cut that song off.
What, Lauren wouldn't say anything. Lauren can't even play her own music. Like, half the time, she plays her music like off beat because I don't think she had the rights to it. Unless she's doing an event for somebody big that pays for everything. Like when she did a party for Diddy's birthday or something, or for Mary, I don't know who it was. They played the original music, but anytime else you see Lauryn Hill, the music is you know what I mean? It's almost like the Kidz Bop version. You know,
Wow.
it's similar, like it's the same lyrics, which I'm sure she gets credit for, but to be, you know, usually she have a live band or it's a little bit,
There's something different
interpretation-ish.
about it.
Yeah, it ain't the same. It ain't the album cut. It's not the
Wow,
album.
that's crazy.
So I don't know. I don't know if that's just like a BMI like publishing thing. She don't get all the money if she does it that way, or maybe it's only when the camera's involved. So like, I don't know. Like, I still don't know the ins and outs of the record business.
Yeah, I don't know. That's wild.
And so, and then is it even like, and it's so funny. Outkast is such a monster. Like, I think if you said Lauryn Hill, Wyclef, and Prof could get a star with a quote unquote banger and the Fugees catalog, that would wash most anybody. But Outkast, I'm still questioning it. Like, because I mean, it's like, I like all the Fuji songs, but I love the Outkast songs, you know. So it's like, I like going to November. I mean, I really like going to November, you know. But I love, you know, like I love.
But I love Aquemini more. Like, yeah. You know, like I love Aquemini that much more.
Yeah. I love Killing Me Softly, you know, but I love Miss Jackson.
Yeah,
you know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, it's just like anybody else. Like, I mean, I can't think of any other, you know, like I almost was gonna say like Black Eyed Peas versus Fugees. I don't know if the Black Eyed Peas would match up better with Fugees or.
Probably Outkast because they have
Black Eyed Peas has been out. Black Eyed Peas has been out forever, yeah. Like since like the '90s. So
they've got a bigger catalog.
Yeah,
they've got a lot of bangers that could definitely go up. Like even songs that would be like considered pop, hip hop. You know. We would know, mm-hmm. like, because it's just one of those songs. Like, it's getting started. You know what I mean? Like, that's the first song that pops in your mind when you talk about Black Eyed Peas. And I think they would match up well with Outkast.
I kind of feel like De La Soul would match up pretty well with Outkast too. As far as like, and that's more of a quality over quantity. Sort of thing,
yeah. Like, I mean, that would be enjoyable. Like, I would enjoy De La Soul versus Outkast, but De La Soul don't have like Tribe Called Quest would match up better than De
La Soul. For sure.
But and I don't think Tribe Called Quest got hits. That's where, like, I wouldn't like Black Eyed Peas as much as either one of them because I'm not necessarily a big fan. But I'll probably be rocking a little bit. Hit wise, like you know, what I mean, like, because you know, you play stuff like, cause we're really talking about stuff that we like. Or you talking about in the verses, the stuff that the you know people want to hear stuff like,
yo,
know,
All right, so that I mean, Black Eyed Peas would have to play like "Where's the Love" to match that.
But like De La Soul, Tribe Called Quest, maybe Fugees might have something. They could play a Lauryn Hill song, but like De La Soul don't have an answer for that. What are you gonna play? Potholes in My Lawn.
Me, Myself, and I.
I was just about to say that right there. I was just about to say that.
Okay, so then they play Me, Myself, and I, and then same album. These songs are played at the Super Bowl.
I play Stakes Is High.
Yeah, and then half the people are gonna be like, "What? Who?"
Yeah, but like, that's the whole like that's the whole sort of like thing, you know. Like the real sort of question is like, what constitutes a quote unquote hit? You know, like because people like it because it does numbers, like.
What?
Well, I would think
there are a lot of shitty songs that have been quote unquote hits.
Okay, true.
So it's just like what is the criteria for a song actually being like a hit like worldwide, like something like.
But I would still think stuff that people
Well, I
know.
mean, that's the whole point
Like,
of
you know what
verses,
I
though.
mean?
Where you're playing, even though it's a versus, it's a battle in a sense. You're playing music that everybody can connect to. Like that's what kind of killed the whole Monica Brandy situation is because Brandy played music not everybody was aware of yet. You know what I mean? And so
Playing
you
that
playing
new
new
album.
songs off a new album, we just want to hear, The Boy Is Mine, Angel of Mine. Like we want to hear the classics that we know that everybody can connect to. You know what I mean? Like it's different than if it was a producer. If it was a producer, then I understand there being some songs that we may not even know, but that were, underground hits, as you would say. But we're not talking about the mainstream artists. Don't play anything we don't know.
Well, I mean, I would say because like only true fans, I would say, would know stuff from Fugees off that first album. Like y'all talking about how many
How
what
many
is it? How
mics?
many mics? Yeah, like I don't like that's not something that I'm overly familiar
You
with.
also kind of
Like,
be a you got to be a
oh no, that's and actually, how many mics? That's
yeah.
on the big album. Never mind. I'm thinking of never mind.
You
I
gotta
was
be
thinking
of
of Not My
a
Age.
certain age group too to really like know about the score. You know, like you really
True.
gotta
Yeah.
be of a certain age bracket to have been or to have what the kids say have been outside for that. You know what I mean?
But that was a big year. Like most, I would say the score was in the target market. Target area of the Versus fam, like the
Oh
people that
yeah, for
they're
sure. Oh,
targeting.
absolutely.
Like what did
That,
that was like what, 96? I can't think of them right now, but I see those little memes that where they show all the albums that came out that year, and
that
that
year
was a
was
monster
nuts.
year for hip hop.
But I
That
mean,
year,
'cause like with the
so.
Refugees only have what, two albums? That's it.
Nah, Fuji's just had that one album and then.
No, they had the score, and
No,
then
they had a.
they had the one that Nappy is on. What's that? Blunted on Reality.
Was that like much later?
No, that's earlier. That's before the score.
No.
Oh,
Yeah,
yeah.
Blunted on
Okay,
Reality.
okay.
That's what I'm saying. They only have two albums to really pick from.
Well, and then I mean, I would say they would be able to use the solo
A
album
lot of
stuff,
yeah.
like
yeah. Why? I mean, yeah. You're definitely
Wyclef and Lauryn
using
Hill.
Ghetto Superstar, and
I was just about to say that you have to.
yeah.
Ghetto Superstar is a classic. It was an instant classic, and they play it on the radio all the time still.
Yeah. I think Gone Till November, and then did y'all just say Ghetto Superstar?
Yo,
That's a
y'all
song
remember the
that's a
movie
treat.
that came with it, Bullworth?
Yes.
With
Yeah.
like Warren Beatty and it was Halle. I don't think Halle Berry was in it. Nah, right? Wait, was
I
she in
think she
it?
was in it, wasn't she? She was in one of those movies around that time. So, like, whatever you're thinking about, I'm thinking of too.
Warren Beatty's like running for president. And he like goes to the hood and like bags a check back. I think it's Halle Berry.
Yeah, Halle Berry is in it.
Yeah.
Don Cheadle's in it. Don Cheadle's in that too.
Oh wow. I don't think I've ever watched that movie. Like I can see
It
the
is
artwork
really
for
stupid. It's a real
it.
stupid movie, and I bet it really doesn't age well.
Probably not. Especially not in this climate either right
Oh
now.
no, that movie does not age well at all, probably. I gotta actually like revisit that.
I'm looking up the sound, see if they got the
But
soundtrack on for
also
Movie
from the
Mountain.
carnival, Wyclef did he did like the Electric Avenue, and that was pretty tough.
He didn't. He did 9-1-1-2 with Mary J.
Mary J. Blige. That was good. Yeah, that was definitely a good one. It seemed like it'd almost be two different.
Yo, he did the song. Yo, Wyclef did a song with The Rock. Wyclef had The Rock on a song.
And he was on the cannabis.
Oh yeah,
he was. He was.
And LL was like the Bob Marley wannabe.
And then he worked with the hottest MC ever, like top five. He worked with five of the top five.
Dialogue. I knew you were about to say that.
So I mean, he spit hot fire. So yeah, all right. So let's say Fuji's play. We trying to stay alive. What would you be playing? What would you play against? We trying to stay alive.
Against we trying to stay alive. I'm going Player's Ball.
Oh wow. Ooh.
I don't know.
Go going Player's Ball then. I mean, like, I'm not even getting into like the like Player's Ball is a classic, but like I'm not even getting into like other Outkast stuff. Like,
yeah.
I don't know, man. I'm waiting.
Yo.
Yeah, I don't know what I would go with that, because, like, I think personal feelings, I would probably go play as ball, but, you know, overall, like, being objectively, I don't know, I might well go staying alive with that one. Like, that would definitely be for, I think that would be a debate. That would just be in the moment.
It depends, yeah, like.
It was like how it came off, you know what I mean? Like, who gave the best story? When they rap before they played the song, and if they performed it or not, but I'm sure Wyclef will be performing.
Oh yeah,
you know.
Look at here, man. It's all they got back. Yeah, that shit was hard. That's why, like, I had to go Player's Ball on that, because, like, that was like, yeah. Was that their like first, like that was their like first single.
That was. It was a Christmas. It's a Christmas song. It was on the LaFace Christmas album, and Puffy shot the video. Like, a lot of people don't know that. And yeah, it was like LaFace was kind of skeptical of it, and that kind of like, it's like, make us a Christmas song. If you listen to everything, like, it starts off, it's looking to look a lot like Christmas. Like, Player's Ball is a straight-up Christmas song. Yeah. But, yeah, but, like, so, if this was a real versus, if Andre put on a jersey and gave me, like, old Andre, I would give Outkast a point. Yep. But I doubt that would happen.
Yo, if he put on a Blazers jersey and got his hair cornrolled,
a Blazers jersey,
I don't know. That was just the.
You mean?
I mean, nah. That was just the first thing I thought of.
Like Atlanta Hawks or I would think
Falcons. That was the first thing I thought of. Like, so I'm thinking of the time too. I'm thinking of the time, like a Clyde Drexler jersey back then.
Dominique Wilkins.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, you got assertive with that, Dominique Wilkins. Okay, you got it.
Yeah.
Atlanta. I get it. Atlanta. It makes sense. That's what he. I get it. But in my head, I saw an overhead shot. I'm shooting the video in my head, and I see an overhead shot with the Blazers jersey.
Gotcha. Now I'm just saying, cause I think in Player's Ball, he actually did have a Falcons jersey on. Like,
yeah.
And then they were wearing jerseys, like football.
What do you have, the Deion Sanders?
That I don't know. So, yeah, I think this is one of those things where, like this could literally be one of those things in my head. I say Outkast all day, but if you had someone like, I'm not gonna sleep on Wyclef. If Wyclef was the one that was arranging everything,
I mean, yeah, because that's his forte.
Yeah,
I mean.
You know, like because I could see him if Outkast went the first 10 first, him just strategically only playing, going for kills that he knew he can get, and just playing some bullshit. So, you know what I mean? Like, if you get three of the first 10 and then you come up strong with the last 10, you know, it's questionable. But and then you know, and if an Outkast got so much music, they could literally
they could overlook a lot of stuff.
They could definitely overlook a lot of stuff.
Like I feel like they'd overlook Skewer on the Barbie, with Raekwon.
Yeah, I know people love that song. That wasn't one of my favorites. I don't know why. I can never.
But
I don't think they would overlook that. To me, that's one of the ones that they would play. That I was like, I don't know. If I was their coach, would I recommend playing Skewer on the Barbie? It depends. I would play that just to play it. Like when you played one of Lauryn Hill's, you played Doo Wop.
Then you counter with that one, yeah.
So I could play something cool because I know some people I'm going to get with that. Like the people that mess with Skew and the Barbie ain't messing with Lauryn Hill like that. You know what I mean? So I'm like, that's when I would play that and be like, so it'll be because some people it's gonna be an automatic lose, but for some people it's gonna be
can we put If I Rule the World in as a song? I mean, because it does feature Lauryn Hill.
That's stretching. I when you're like that, but the I think that's almost skimming too thin. Because I mean, that you got the group and you're breaking the group down to their solo song, but now you're talking about their solo features on a hook, just on a hook. Like maybe she had a verse on it.
I think Wyclef would pull that though.
I think he would too. He pulled Nothing Even Matters too. Like that's another song that a lot of people know.
Like shoot, does he pull Destiny's Child Memento remix?
Why wouldn't he?
He produced it.
He produced it.
Yeah, but this is more of this is more of an artist versus than a producer versus. Like this ain't, and because that's when you're talking more about Organized Noise versus Wyclef the producer. But this is Outkast the group versus Refugees group / camp. I would accept John Forte. Does John Forte have a solo?
John Forte is digging real deep. John Forte is digging real deep. John Forte pulling. If they pull John Forte out, that's like pouring, like you pour your soup out of the can and then you get, and then you like use a little water to get the rest of the soup out. Like that's what you're doing with John Forte.
Hey, I mean, when Fuji start getting to what that 17th, 18th round, they might need that water and soup in. Especially without.
I agree. It's gonna be slim pickings at that point.
And then you wanna like how would y'all end it? What would be Scotty, what would be your last song?
Miss Jackson.
Outcast? Like, how are you ending it? Like,
God, I hate you, Scotty.
Miss Jackson. How could you not?
I mean, that's facts. Like, so if you're playing Miss Jackson, whew.
Do you just let him go? Do you just let that?
Nah, I can't. Just let that go? I can't just let it go.
Have you played Everything Is Everything yet? So I feel like you'd have. Have you played Everything Is? You know,
or Fuji Law. Like, that's just an automatic. Man, let me tell you, that song. I was in the car with one of my athletes the other day because I coach football, and I picked him up, and I had that song playing, and he knew the words. And he's only 12 years old. Like, that song right there. It does. It's an automatic. Doesn't matter what generation you are. It's a banger.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, it's not like the other ones, like the one, the like the Hey Ya, the ones that are just too. It's not like it wasn't commercially correct. Oversaturated.
It is. Like, it is more now than it was then.
Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Exactly. But, like, you know, when I played Hey Ya, y'all probably was like, eh, you know, it's cool, but I only, but that's kind of more like.
Yeah, but that's also to say that, like, I actually heard Hey Ya randomly earlier today. Yeah.
But, you know, like, Hey Ya was on the album where we were like, what's wrong with Andre? So everything that he did was suspect. Like, even like, you know, crypto, was it, you are the prototype. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, everything was, yeah. Everything, like, that whole second album with him, it had to grow on you because it was like, we're not accustomed to this, bro. Like,
all right, but also, I mean, everything with Andre leading up to that, like, I feel like it was sort of expected. Like, I sort of knew he was already kind of going to go in that Prince sort of direction. But it made absolute sense because Andre is just Andre. Like, no other person could, like, pull that off.
Agreed.
The way they did.
But... Well, I mean, I think you're forgetting about Common.
Common ain't singing.
Yeah. Not to the same extent.
You know, I'm just saying the weird garb and the Erykah Badu.
Well, if you was hooking up with Erykah Badu, you'd probably change a little bit too.
Nah, fine.
I'm telling you right now. So, she do so. Every brother I have ever seen with Erykah Badu has been transformed into something else.
Not DLC.
You sure?
Unless you call that car wreck.
Damn.
Yo.
I think he hooked up with her after the car wreck, so that wouldn't even, you know, I don't know when they hooked up, but I know he got a baby by her. So now Jay Electronica, I don't really know how weird he was before or after, but
he's with a Rothschild now, so he figured something up. Well, he still has Rothschild money. He got some sort of Rothschild money, which is insane. You could have like 0.5% of Rothschild money, and his generations will be good.
Yeah, I'm surprised they didn't give him 0.5 for them not to get married. But anyway,
we so all right. So if the last song is Miss Jackson, I guess if I'm Wyclef, I'm gonna go out with something that's sentimental, and I'm gonna go out with "No Woman, No Cry."
No woman, no.
I mean, because it's probably their most okay. sentimental song. Every hippie in America knows it. It's a very popular song for them, and I mean, I could see him getting on the guitar and literally playing it.
Yeah, that's one thing. That's one point that Wyclef would have pulling out that guitar, like like Babyface. No. I can see him just doing like that in the intermission, like not even song, just like humming some dope. Like he'll like the songs that the songs you produced don't really count, but I can see him like just trying to sun.
Oh man!
Like yep.
Like start to get, like try to get do Santana and guitar, like do the guitars for it or some shit.
Jeez.
You know, like,
I don't think Big Boy would like that.
So like,
and I think Big Boy would see through what he was doing like, and really not like that.
Like that would just be, oh man, especially if Andre wasn't there. If it was just like, say how if it was just like Big end up being Big Boy kind of versus Wyclef,
that would be very interesting.
Yeah, that would. But if Andre was there and he started playing the
I don't flute, think Big Boy would like that either.
Nope.
Oh, just quick sidebar. Have y'all ever seen the Key and Peele skits of Andre and like Andre and Big Boy? Like,
nah.
They're funny.
I watch a lot of
them. Yeah, I haven't seen that.
There's one is like I think it's like they run up each other on a coffee shop, and he's like, "What happened to you?" And like Andre is just like, you know, Key is playing Andre, and Jordan Peele is playing Big Boy, and he's like, "Yo, what happened to you?" I'm gonna find when we get out here. I'm probably while we're doing this, I'm gonna send that to you in the group chat because that's funny. But all right, back to Andre.
He's not weird. He's ever evolving, man.
Yeah, I wish he had evolved.
He did though. He just gave you a dope verse on Anderson .Paak's album. Yeah.
On the new one.
Because that's when the rumors hit. So last year, when Anderson dropped his album, there were rumors came out that everybody had seen Andre in the studio and they thought he was recording and working on a new album, but he was just there helping Anderson out. And he wound up hopping on Anderson's album and did a dope verse.
I don't want my Instagram messenger to sync with my Facebook messenger. Another side note.
Yeah.
Are y'all Anderson Paak?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I listen to a lot of his music.
I dabble.
Okay. Like, I like him. Like, I don't really check for him. But I feel like all my friends, none of them, even the ones I think would like him, none of them really fuck with Anderson .Paak except for like one of my boys who loves him. Like he loves him, and everybody else is like, yeah. And I was like, well, I mean, I'm somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything that I was like, nah, this shit is not good. Like, yeah, I fucks with it. Like.
Yeah, and he got a couple of things that I think is like really good, but you know, but like I don't know, it's just weird because there's some of my friends, Is he, what do y'all put him like? He's R&B.
He is classified as R&B and soul. I mean, pop. I mean, he's kind of like a Childish Gambino. Like, he has the ability to spit when he wants to spit, but he's also an amazing singer and musician. So, like that would, like, if they ever did the verses, that would be a very good matchup between Anderson .Paak and Childish Gambino. Yeah, he's got that new one to come home with Andre 3000. He's got another song called "Make It Better" with Smokey Robinson. I mean, he's got some dope ones out. He's got Compton. You got Compton. Jet Black with Brandy, which was like one that was climbing the charts really good last year. He's got, I mean, like I said, when it comes to R&B and soul, he's got quite a few hits.
And Childish Gambino, you could just play like the last album. He's good.
No, I will not agree with you on that one. The last album that he dropped, the one that he just dropped this year, was not
did he drop
good.
Did he drop an album? No, I didn't know he dropped an album this year. Talking about
it was trash. Coming to This Is America, that album. That's the one you're talking about. Where that song's on there? This Is America.
Nah, I'm Don't talking get... about. I'm.
I didn't know he. I didn't.
Yeah,
know
he, I didn't, did he did album. Like an album. I thought that was just a one-off.
Nah, I thought. With that. Yeah.
Well, he did another song after that was kind of trash. But I didn't know it was another
Nah, album. The what's songs. It called? The one where the album where he's singing. I forgot the name. Yeah, the Redbone.
Redbone. You're talking about Redbone.
Yeah, that shit was crazy.
Like, I still like rapping Childish. Like, didn't he have a song before that? What called like 3500 or something like that? Like, I remember he was in the video, and the video was like in a diner or something. And he was just, it was one of his rap songs before the Redbone song. I think it's called 3500. But that was the first thing that kind of put me on.
Yeah, 3500. Yeah, that was on what's it Because the Internet.
Yeah, Because of the Internet. That was where he was rapping.
Yeah,
really. That was where he was like that was primarily rapping. Yes.
But that was like that was early on when he was also doing a lot of comedy at that time too. Because he did stand up for a little while too. So.
Yeah, and he was on like Community and shit.
Yeah.
Peebles, that shit used to get me mad. People used to say I look like Donald Glover. I'm like, man, fuck out of here, man. Nah, it was getting hot. It was just getting too hot. That was a whim. I was just like, all right, I'm going to cut my hair today. Did it.
So ultimately, who would y'all like? Who would y'all really have in Outkast?
I mean,
refugees.
Go ahead.
Like, I would say, do the refugees stand a chance?
It will come down to who plays what. Like, because
I think this is a lot closer than.
Than I can see, you know what I mean? Like, just looking from a distance, he was like, oh, Outkast got that all day. But if they don't play the right songs at the right time, Wyclef could eat them alive.
So, is it a cheat code that is not just like if they play the individual song, or it's not a cheat code? Because
look, man, Wyclef would play Bob Marley shit if he could. I think.
I mean, he's remixed enough of them.
To where he'll make some weird thing up, but
yeah, I mean.
Oh, I don't think it's just an outcast ass whooping that easy.
As much as we like to believe it would be.
Yeah, like that.
Like I said, it just depends on how they play.
Though. Like, yeah. If they came out swinging, but you know, like the way Scotty was talking about coming out with bombs over Baghdad.
Like, yeah, but I'm like, saying, like, I mean, but it would still be a good, like, you do bombs over Baghdad and then you hit that ready or not. I mean, you're looking at a close tie. You know what I mean? Like, that's where it would be at. So, I mean, it'd be interesting to see how that pops, but. I mean, it's a lot closer than I expected it to be. Like, I mean, I rock for Refugee, but yeah, that would be tough.
Oh, I would at the Bombs Over Baghdad. Okay. I'd have played that Lauryn Hill Lost One.
See, I don't want to. I mean, you kind of want to save Lost One for another, like especially if Andre plays something like. Like Hey Now, you know, I guess you would have to do doo-wop if he played Hey Now, you'd do doo-wop.
But what you do you, what do you, find, like, you what do you,
the perfect match?
You are, but I mean, I feel like depending on the song, Outkast could lose to Killing Me Softly.
I think they lose to Killing Me Softly off Gates, period. No matter what they play. That's like literally the one song on that entire album that everybody knows.
Yeah, that was like the major.
That was the anthem. That was the anthem for a whole 2 years. You know what I mean? Like maybe even longer than that.
Yeah, like, that was all they played at the park when we were playing ball.
That Scott, Miss Eva, that might be the song.
Could be. They would have. It's at the end and everything, and that's great. But I mean, if you wait till the end to play that song, you definitely are just saying I was defeated. Let's go out with a bang.
So I mean, we were just talking so highly of Miss Jackson. Killing Me Softly beats Miss Jackson.
That's close.
That's rough. That's
close.
That's rough. That's rough. That's way better than No Woman, No Cry.
It's way, way, way better than No Woman, No Cry. But we had already said we were playing Killing Me Softly earlier, so that's why I didn't put it at that last song. But yes, I know. I think it'd be a nice, I think it'd be a solid tie at the end because those are two legit classic songs that everybody knows.
Yeah, like that. You can, you know, I put those songs on playlist.
Correct.
Correct.
And that's one of them songs where even though Lauryn Hill may not like Wyclef, like that might be a song where she's a surprise. She does a surprise pop up just to sing it.
Oh my God. How much? I wonder how much that would cost.
Now, if she's 100,
yeah.
Yeah, if she came in and if she came in and did that, then yeah. Yeah, I'll concede that one.
Cause they take a break. They take a break. Wyclef leaves the stage. Lights are off. You turn on you when you ease the lights back on, and here comes Lauren singing. Oh my gosh!
Oh yeah, spotlight on her.
And because he has a restraining order, Wyclef is singing the background from 100 yards away.
Like, no, they put him in
him in the booth.
Jesus
the
Christ.
Completely separate the two.
Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Playing the guitar.
Oh, my.
From the booth.
From the booth.
Oh, my God. That's sick.
Or better yet, more realistically, they did a Zoom.
Yeah, that would have to be the Zoom. That's the only way that'll work. And Lauren will be late for that shit too.
You know, from Jamaica with a Marley. Like she got a Marley.
Matter of fact, that Marley is the one playing the guitar.
She got Damian Marley playing the guitar.
Oh. Yeah. Nah, the Marley would be playing like a tambourine or something.
And I'm just saying, I could see some spitefulness happening, and she got one of the Marleys playing the song on guitar, just throwing all kinds of shade.
Yeah, that would be nasty. That would actually be like a nasty interaction. Yeah.
If Swizzy hears this, we need a cut of this check, bro.
So let's before we head out, they put up the bat symbol. You know, I guess they knew people were rumbling, so they kind of pacify us. They put the V2 versus season 2. What do you think is in store for season 2? Like, do you think they're going to try to do anything to elevate the game, change it?
No, I think they're going to change it. I think they're going to probably do like a more of like they're going to mix it up, do a Latin night where they might have, you know, different Latin artists against each other in the verses.
That would be dope.
Scotty had brought something up earlier, like when you had mentioned, not on the podcast, but through messaging about the game not being in there. You know, that's still all up. I mean, you have Lloyd Banks, the game, Royce 5'9", we talked about Bleak. You got a lot of artists from back in the day that we still enjoy.
Yeah.
That literally have not had an opportunity.
Yeah, like the game, to do a verse. Like the game versus like Jeezy or something. Like that would be nuts.
That would be really good.
That would be nuts.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. One kind of off. This would be definitely for this one. You would almost take back the Instagram, but I'll talk about this in another group chat. If they did Suede, the remix God versus I Mark Keys, the producers that be doing all those little memes and all the, you know, yeah, all the little meme remixes, that would be dope.
That would be interesting.
Yeah, it's definitely different.
Yeah, I don't know if they get the same love as you would, you know, with other people, but I mean, I could see it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think people know correct, the names as much as they know the work, but you can't really scroll down Instagram without, you know, with seeing one of those two remixing something that you and you just like, you know, them.
Yo,
like
Crank them Lucas got Crank bars Lucas. Though. Crank Lucas is Crank nice. Lucas is
like a real producer now.
Yeah.
Yo, what about Crank Lucas versus Warrack? Have you seen the things. White Boys Warrack? Oh my god! Funniest. So these like little white boys from like Rhode Island. All right. So this kid, like every time he saw his video, he like jumps off something, and he's like reading freestyles from his phone. All right. And then the next kid, he like pops up out of like this kid has come from like under a car. He's come from under a house. And stuff, and then like the next kid comes and he like throws the hammer and he's like, let's get to spit. Like, it's pure comedy. Like, but it's like you would think that they're serious. Like, this shit is funny as hell. Like, I'll send a link in the group chat. But yeah, you gotta, these kids are hilarious. And he's like talking like crazy shit too. He's like, fuck Drake and like all kinds of just wild. Like these kids are gonna like they're the I don't know. These kids might like blow up from this and have to like get protection.
Well, Craig Lucas, he, you know, he produced the Will Smith.
He did, right?
Jonah Lucas.
Oh yeah, Will, talking about Will.
Talking about Will Smith. Yeah.
Wow. I want.
And you hear that beat on one of his old skits, like I was like, oh shit, they're like. So that was like a for real. It ain't even like he produced that specifically for Johnny Lucas. Johnny Lucas might have seen one of his skits, and
you know,
like,
the one. If they do it, I want to see that classic. I think I mentioned this before: Beastie Boys versus Run DMC.
Yeah, that would actually
that would be good. That would be interesting.
That would be a history lesson.
Yeah,
I might. Yeah.
And if they do like, if they do music producers, you could do Biz Markie, because you know he produced a lot of music and he DJs. Yeah.
I know he DJs. I didn't know.
Now, he also produces too. So, because I went to one of his shows the year before last, and I mean, he basically gives you a lesson on how they mix music and where they pull what songs from for stuff that we love, like, you know, You Got What I Need and stuff like that. Like, you know, I mean, what's that? You Say He's Just a Friend.
Oh, the samples and everything?
Yeah, he does a complete show. Like, he'll play the 60s joint, and then he'll show you how it loops in to a new joint.
There's a cat on YouTube. He's with the radio station LA, Vin Reekin. He does that with like albums. He'll play the like classic sample, and like that's the whole thing that's the like reason I even got in. That's the whole reason that I wanted to DJ, is because I was so fascinated with samples and how you could turn a 2 second part of a song into a crazy hit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like as for me, like when I used to rap, and now I feel like as like a hip hop head, like this is sort of like that's sort of like the natural progression is getting into DJing and like understanding where the beats come from and shit like that. But yeah, Vin Reekin, he does whole albums. He did Mobb Deep's Hell on Earth, like classic albums. Puff Daddy, P. Diddy and the Family. Yeah, right. Ready to Die.
No one does it better.
I saw what you did there, Lou. I saw what you did there.
So, for season two. I would like to see, because
I think they have to go big.
Battles
they have the to they have setting. To do Jermaine Dupri and Puff.
Yeah.
Yeah, like they have to do that.
Yeah, that would break the internet. Or maybe Mariah and Toni Braxton.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be good.
Yeah, absolutely. Like they gotta start off with a bang for sure.
Yeah. So what about Shante Keisha Cole? Is that a bang?
It's not a bang, but it's a serviceable. Not a
bang.
It's a serviceable fill-in.
Yeah. That'd be like,
nah, throw it in like week four, week three,
like whatever the second.
Slow it down a little bit, like let it breathe, kind of. Throw that out there. It's still gonna be good, but not as good if they started off with like a Jermaine Dupri and P. Diddy.
Yeah, I mean that would be.
I would almost think you would end it with that, because you can't. It's hard to top that. Like whatever your quote unquote the end of that season is, I think I. I don't know, like that would be of stuff that's actually possible. That would be one of the biggest.
I feel like they should take that Game of Thrones format
versus you could do.
Like, have that first episode be crazy, the next couple episodes not be like okay, like good fillers. Have like fifth episode be nuts, sixth episode be kind of crazy, seventh, eighth episode chill out, ninth episode be nuts, and then 10th episode end it on a good note. Which I mean, I can't.
Well, I think
I can't say Game of Thrones did. Like two...
No, they definitely didn't. They ended it horribly. But like, what do we put Mark Ronson at in this whole list? Because he definitely needs to be a part of the verses.
I'm familiar with his name, but maybe I'm not familiar with his catalog. Because I put, like, in my mind, Mark Ronson is like a static selector, you know, like underground producer.
I mean, he did Bruno Mars
he,
album. He's worked with Q-Tip. I mean, he's got his catalog is actually pretty wide.
It's pretty extensive. I'm thinking, thinking maybe like. Even though, like, obviously he won't be there, but I feel like Jay Dilla or something.
Yeah, that might be a good matchup. Because Ronson started out as a hip-hop DJ before he started producing. So.
Yeah, his sister used to be down with Rockefeller. Samantha Ronson. Like she was like a DJ too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
He's featured in the whole in the video. He's got
a white dude.
Four Grammys.
He's a white dude.
He's a white dude from London. I think he's got four or five Grammys.
Something like that. As far as producers, also, like, I'd like to see Alchemist go against.
Oh, that would be
go against somebody.
Oh,
Ninth Wonder or Havoc. Well, I think they said they wouldn't do Havoc because they're too close. They work too close together. But or better yet, okay. Alchemist versus the B Miners. You know, had a little bit of Alchemist is like from Cali.
Yeah, he really kind of started out with Cypress Hill. Yeah,
Soul Assassin. Yeah, so the Soul Assassin. But the white dude that's an actor now. There's another documentary. So after y'all watch the one on Organized Noise, then there's one about LA culture. I can't think of the name of it, but I'll find out both of them. But it has Alchemist in it, and the one guy. He's an actor that you'll be familiar with him, but his dad I think is
not Tom Hanks, Penn. Right?
But his dad is like,
nah, his son.
I was about to say, not Colin Hanks, no. Right?
Well, this guy probably looks like he was a joke as a rapper, but he's a serious actor. You know what I mean? But his dad is like
Scott Conn.
His dad is James Conn. So Sean Conn, maybe? Scott Conn. Scott Conn and Alchemist was in a rap.
I know. I vaguely remember that. Maybe, yeah.
And they opened. Yeah. And then they like opened up for like Cypress Hill and stuff. And they talk about that on the documentary. The documentary is about the.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That was on Netflix.
The guy who did the tattoo.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I started watching that. I didn't finish it, but I know what you're talking about. I started watching that.
LA Original. Yeah. That was a good one. So Any closing words? You know, I think we're
no final well words on my end. Mark. I just wish that the Refugees had put out some more albums, because I felt like the score, even though it's a classic, I wish they would have did a couple more albums. That's all. That's how I feel.
How many records did the score sell?
I think at this point that shit has gone diamond. Yeah. I mean, along the same lines as
what about you, Scott? Any lines as
Mr. Evo, like I wish Outkast would put out an album in the near future, or would have put out another one within the past 12 years.
I want
Andre and Big Boy to do an album together. It's a lot to ask for. I mean, it is what it is. I'm not going to force you guys to be like, look, for my sake, can you put this out? Like, I'm not going to do that, but I think it would actually do good for the world. Like, remember when Tribe dropped that last album, it was like after the election and everybody was all mad depending on who you were, and like that came out and it was just like it kind of like put a nice band-aid over that. Like the album felt good for the time that it came out. Like I wish Outkast would sort of do the same thing now.
I enjoy that new song with Can't Sleep by Big Boy and Sleepy Brown.
Yeah, but it's not Outkast.
But Big Boy.
I haven't heard the song yet, so I'm not gonna hate on it. Even if I do hear it, it can't go wrong. Sleepy Brown and Big Boy, you can't go wrong. So, I mean, I'll check it out tonight.
Just throwing some, man, you throwing Killer Mike, same thing. Or throwing CeeLo. Last thing, I always wanted CeeLo and Andre to do a project together. Like, I just thought that would be the most out there with all the stuff that CeeLo has done with, like, Gnarls Barkley and, you know, and just kind of like half the album be like normal, like put the jersey back on hip hop, and then the other half of the album be the wildest experimental Love Below Gnarls Barkley type shit. Just, you know,
that shit would sound like,
who knows?
I really think that it would just sound like Junie Morrison. Junie Morrison was he was in the Ohio Players. He's got like a weird voice. All right, the song I'm actually thinking of, Kanye sampled "No More Parties to L.A." Yeah, the song he sampled Junie Morrison is called "Susie Thunder Tussie." That's what Andre and CeeLo would sound like.
Wow.
That's where my mind went.
So, all right. So you can make sure you tune in. It looks like we're probably going to be trying to get some consistency, but I'm thinking Wednesdays, and we'll just go head to head with Joe Buttons. I was trying to avoid that. You can check the Versus podcast out. Make sure you follow us on Instagram. It's Versus_podcast on Instagram. And Scotty, is there any place that
here
you want people to find you at yet? You can check Scotty out every week here at the Versus Podcast for your audio pleasures. And send Scotty a message on Versus Podcast on the Versus_podcast Instagram. But Mr. Evo, I know that you got plenty of places people can find you.
You could check me out on my own podcast, The Fluffy Fellow, on all of your podcast media outlets. Also got something upcoming in the works. I'm actually going to be on television soon, so I'll give more details to that down the road. You can also catch me on Unapologetically Dope podcast on all podcast platforms as well, and the Verses. Yeah, this is what we're doing right now. You can, and it's all my social media is Mr. Evo underscore 84.
All right. And also, you make sure you check out the IMOLT podcast on YouTube and on streaming services. Talk to usually one-on-one conversations, interviews lately. You can check some of our older stuff out. Just, you know, barbershop conversations. So, you know, we got a lot of stuff for you to hit.
And that last red carpet, couch that you did, those last three were fire.
Yeah, I got, got something.
Yeah, like the whole Castle Street series that I've been watching is nuts, too, man. It's giving me sort of like a tutorial on like old school Wilmington, which is, I think that's a beautiful thing, because all the people doing the great things that they're doing now, like, it's to see where everybody's come from and where they are now. It's that's beautiful to see.
Yeah. So, and I'm working on a reunion show that we're filming it this weekend like the YBG's ATM Stack Boys. So they're gonna have like film, they're doing like an actual reality show style reunion. And bless me.
A man of many mysteries.
We'll see. And then by the time this airs, because it's premiering, we got the last one of that kind of that series is Mario ATM Quote. And so he said some very good, interesting stories. I had to break his up into two parts. So what next part two.
So who have you done so far? I know you did Q, you did Black, and you did Quote. Did you do, I didn't see if you see did Duran or not.
Well, you know, I haven't done.
Yeah, I did Major too. I forgot about Major.
I did Major League. I did Real Love or Daniel Dickey, and I did Cedron from, because you know he mm-hmm. used to work at the barbershop right there by the studio. So, like, all of it wasn't just the studio, but for me, it was just kind of going down memory lane, the stuff that I remember. And some of the stuff I don't remember, like, I don't remember Q from the studio. Like, he came after my time, but it was still interesting hearing those stories. Yeah. And with that, I'm going to, at least far as the part podcast side, I'm going to end it here.
Absolutely. And
again, thank you guys for coming, doing another episode.
That's fun, man. I enjoy it.
And, and let me give it a couple seconds. Okay, but yeah, Duran just had a.
Oh, word. See, I didn't even know that.